This is Whatever We Deny or Embrace, for worse or for better. Written by Kiara Sayre and recorded by Tipsy Kitty. Day 1. Lantern Parade and Acknowledgement of Country. You know, Dulcie says, keeping her eyes on the softly glowing lantern balanced on her hands. I was here for 5 years and never actually did any of this festival stuff. Seriously? Eddie says. Her lantern is unlit, due to the fire hazard plus the additional fire hazards of the way she's bouncing it off the back of her hands like it's a hacky sack. Not once. Well, I'm just guys' dinners, Dulcie says. And the choir, once it formed. Kath got a lot of the solos, so I'd try to show up for those. Since I touched myself was on the regular rotation for the choir, Kath always liked to make eye contact with Dulcie during the orgasm break. She said it was just in case anyone had missed that they were lesbians. But none of the other stuff, really? Not even the first time? I mean, stuff like the carrot wank, yeah. I can see how you wouldn't really be a fan of that shit, with the penises and all, but... Honestly, I'm not much one for performance art, Dulcie says. Now there's a shocker. Eddie grins wolfishly. You know, someone told me once that my whole life was performance art. Oh yeah? Dulcie says mildly. Do you think they meant it as a compliment? Oh, fuck no, Eddie says. That's what made it flattering. They make their way, milling with the rest of the crowd, to the waterfront where the choir is just getting ready to start their first song after the acknowledgement of country. Sven, whose latest update text to Dulcie indicated that he was, quote, living his best life, unquote, is chatting easily with Kath on stage. He and Tom have been, to hear Kath's second-hand reporting from Nadia, welcomed in as the mask-identifying bass auxiliary to the Deadlock Women's Choir. Elena steps up onto the stage, absent-mindedly straightening the hem of her suit jacket, and Deddy starts waving her arms. Hey, Mayor, it's me. Elena makes eye contact with Eddie for half a second before looking skyward with exasperation. Then she takes the mic. Hello, everyone, she says, and her voice rolls over the crowd like a fog bank. It is my honor and joy to welcome you all to this year's festival. As our regular attendees know, last year was a bit of a rough patch. But not, Dulcie thinks, looking around to gauge the size of the crowd, in terms of this year's ticket sales. She doesn't think she's ever seen a crowd so big in deadlock. Eddie opens her mouth and takes a deep breath like she's about to yell something. Probably along the lines of, say, all the cishet white dudes are gonna die again. And Dulcie elbows her. But this year, Elena continues determinedly, we're delighted to bring you a wonderful assortment of art, food, and culture. And hopefully, less murder. This year we're also delighted to introduce the Festival app. An all-in-one app that will let you know what events are going on, what events are coming up, and which events you registered for, along with which premium events are still available to join for a small logistical fee. Dulcie made sure to download the app before she even left the airport, but, of course, it's been useless since she officially crossed into deadlock and lost all signal. And now, Elena says, with a smile that even looks halfway genuine. Please join me in welcoming local Palawa and Pakanji Wajiri woman Tammy Hampson. And Dulcie has known her long enough to see the visible relief on her face that she's not introducing Faye. To give the acknowledgement of country. Tammy steps up onto the stage in her full Patamelons kit. Thank you, Mayor Rami, she says with a gracious smile. Miranda, Dulcie can see, is behind her, just off stage, and is smiling with satisfaction. She probably wrote whatever Tammy is about to say, Dulcie realizes. That would be entirely consistent with the tag-teaming she saw when she was senior sergeant. But actually, tonight I do want to give you all a very warm welcome, Tammy continues. And every one of Dulcie's instincts screams that whatever happens next will not be something that Elena is happy about. Not quite a full welcome to country, but at the very least a welcome to deadlock, which is something that I am qualified to do as the team captain of the local football club, the Patty Melons. Oh, yeah, there it is. And it's on behalf of the Patty Melons, Tammy continues, as Miranda smiles with satisfaction behind her, that I welcome you. The Patty Melons, which is Lucha Rita's first mixed gender and sexuality forward footy team, has been proud to call Deadlock home. And since I'm brown and I'm the team captain, that means if you don't donate to us, you're not just sexist and homophobic, you're also racist. She gives a charming smile. Thanks for coming to the festival. Oh, right, Elena stammers, retaking the mic. Thanks for that, Tammy. That's really appreciated. Now please welcome the Deadlock Women's Choir and the Deadlock Mask Identifying Bass Auxiliary, who will be performing the Indigo Girls hit Come to My Window for us. This is going to be way more fucking fun than I thought, Eddie murmurs, and Dulcie, despite herself, agrees. Day 2. Chef Sky O'Dwyer's brunch menu tasting. Ma'ams! Dulcie barely hears the joyous shout before Abby full-body tackles her in what Abby probably thinks is a hug.
Hello to you too, Abby,
Dulcie says with what little air is left in her lungs.
Wonderful to see you.
Hey, bring her in,
Eddie says, throwing her arms out, and Abby hesitates in extricating herself from Dulcie as she suddenly realizes she's supposed to hug Eddie too.
Oh, right, Abby says, with at least some brightness, and gives Eddie an admirably sincere hug.
And you don't have to call us ma'ams anymore, as you well know, Senior Sergeant Matsuda, Dulcie says, watching Abby glow with pride at the title. We're not technically police at all anymore. You'll always be ma'ams to me, Abby says fervently, stepping aside so they can actually enter the Bushwolf. Where's Kath, by the way?
She got here early to help set up, Dulcie says. It isn't quite a lie, because that's what Kath technically said she was getting here early to do. The fact that Kath had also been taking online courses in relationship counseling and had come to Deadlock dead set on getting Skye, to use her words, out of her own ass and finally working things out with Nadia was only incidental.
Yeah, she's trying to unfuck Skye and not just hold you, Eddie says casually.
There's a lot of trauma and trust issues, Dulcie says hastily.
Since Nadia kind of thought Skye was a serial killer, and then Skye got kidnapped by her former pastry chef who tried to murder her son, Eddie adds.
Yep, because of that, Dulcie says.
Oh, Abby says, and bites her lip.
Yeah.
Speaking of, how's McGainis? Eddie asks.
Well, you dried up cum stained tissue of an ex-fiance, eh?
How's everyone doing on that front?
Well, Abby says, sounding a little strained. Phil McAngus moved to Canberra, and James has been, he said in his last text he's studying Buddhism to become a monk and take a vow of silence. But then he said he got a book deal, so I don't know if that's...
I suppose, Dulcie says dryly. In a way, it's comforting that this whole ordeal didn't change him too much.
Look who it is! Sven's voice, filled with more exuberance than Dulcie remembers hearing from him when he was a police officer, is quickly followed by Sven himself. Wow, you got a tan! I don't think I've ever seen you with a tan before.
How are you, Sven? Dulcie says, and admirably does not flinch or frown in utter bafflement when Sven leans in to, Parisian style, kiss her on both cheeks.
How's the diving business?
Oh, it's going great, Sven says.
Sveg!
Eddie crows, and also hugs Sven.
Yep, okay, wow,
Sven says, but hugs back.
Diving's going great. Vince does most of the business side of things. You remember Vince. Love of my life?
Tight little ass, Eddie agrees.
That's the one, Sven says proudly, reaching past Eddie to give Abby a one-armed hug.
Turns out there are a bunch of folks who, like, chuck stuff into the lake when they're drunk and then realize they want it back and are willing to pay someone to get it. Who knew?
Probably Elena, if she still does her daily swim, Dulcie says. Speaking of. She herds everyone towards the table, where seats are waiting for them. Day 3. Freeze Your Nips Off photo shoot, rescheduled from last year.
Oh, Eddie says faintly when they arrive late.
Yeah, that's a lot of nips.
Giving you flashbacks to when you first got here?
Kath asks, stripping her top off with the ruthless efficiency that Dulcie loves about her.
To frostbite on my flaps? Sure is. Hey, Collins, I suppose you want to go get a cuppa instead, huh?
Dulcie trades a suppressed smile with Kath, who had absolutely called this outcome.
You know what? Sure.
Day 4. Carrot Wink. Rescheduled from last year. They skipped this one. Day 5. Endurance Art with Helena Papatonis.
Oh shit, this is gonna be great.
Eddie says, rubbing her hands together.
I bet I can break her.
The point isn't to break her, Kath says.
Maybe not for you,
Eddie mutters.
I got a bunch of unresolved shit, and from what you're saying, I can just say it to her and she can't do fuck all about it.
Ma'am, Abby says, anxiety threading her voice. Please keep in mind that I'm literally right here, and I'm the senior sergeant of the Deadlock Police Department, and I really don't want to arrest you.
Oh, so it's endurance art for two people,
Eddie says with a grin. How much of my shit she can endure, and how long you can endure not arresting me.
Do you think?
Sven murmurs to Dulcie from her other side. Elena realized what she was getting herself into when you and Eddie registered for the festival this year.
Elena has met Eddie, so absolutely, yes.
Dulcie murmurs back. Day 6. Art Therapy with Joan Lamont. Abby, Sven says about a half hour in, watching Abby carefully drip red paint onto a tilted canvas. Are you doing blood spatter analysis in art therapy?
Of course not, Abby says distractedly.
The viscosity of paint is way off from blood, so it isn't a valid comparison.
Well, depending on the humidity and temperature of the ambient surroundings, Eddie says,
though her attention is on her own canvas, which seems to be filled with rudimentary crocodiles. Abby turns to Eddie, her eyes filled with delight.
Ma'am, are you secretly a forensic science nerd?
Eddie freezes, eyes wide.
No,
she says, clearly lying, and Dulcie has to bite her lip.
You are, aren't you? I have so many podcasts to recommend to you. There's this one where they play the actual interrogation tape of this woman who murdered her ex-boyfriend's new wife, and you can totally tell the second she realizes she's been fully caught.
Dulcie glances over at Kath's canvas and does a double take. Sven follows her gaze and raises his eyebrows.
Oh, wow, Kath, you had some stuff to work out, huh?
The canvas shows a clear riff on the famous painting of Drowned Ophelia by some artist Dulcie can't remember just now. But instead of being Hamlet's Ophelia, peacefully drowned surrounded by nature, it shows a brunette in a locker room shower. A very specific brunette in a very specific locker room shower.
Kath?
Dulcie says, looking at the unmistakable painting of Hannah Chambers in the locker room of the Sydney Police Department that Dulcie used to work at.
Is there anything you want to talk about, love, or...
Just exercising some old feelings, Kath says cheerfully, and practicing my brushwork.
It's very evocative, Sven agrees.
And another episode, Abby continues on Dulcie's other side, where her husband insisted on taking his wife scuba diving for their honeymoon and maybe sabotaged her equipment.
Okay, wait, hang on, what?
Sven says to Abby, distracted, and Dulcie decides that everything's probably fine. Day 7. Immersive water sculpture, rescheduled from last year.
Are you sure, Dulcie?
Sven says, pulling his goggles off his eyes and onto his forehead.
It's gonna be a ton of fun. I should know. I was the one who put it together this year.
Yeah, Sven, sorry. It sounds like a blast. But I think after about the fifth body I pulled from the lake...
Oh, right. Okay, yeah. That's fair.
Sven says with a grimace.
Ooh, I'm still in,
Abby says. Day 8. Pottery with Jez.
Eddie couldn't make it?
Abby asks as Dulcie sits down at the turntable next to her.
No, unfortunately not, Dulcie says.
She decided she had to go and defecate on Ray McClintock's grave, so as you can tell, she's doing just fine on that front. Abby's eyes widen.
Ma'am, Dulcie, I'm the senior sergeant. Now someone reports to me that someone else...
I told her I would tell you, Dulcie says, lifting her hands in the universal sign for I am no more capable of controlling Eddie Redcliffe than anyone in this entire godforsaken world, including, indeed, Eddie Redcliffe herself.
She said it was optimal timing because you'd be here,
And I said she shouldn't have told me that, so I could at least have plausible deniability. And then she called me a bootlicking narc and said she'd make sure Cass still picked us both up, though. After a moment, Abby says, "That's nice of her?" Jez interrupts them by slapping down the formless mounds of very brown, very wet clay on each of their turntables. "Here you go, this should get you started," he says happily, and moves on to the next patrons. Dulcie surveys the lump of clay, then looks at the clay on Abby's turntable. "Is it supposed to look like this?" she ventures. Abby looks at the clay too. "I think so," she says, and pokes hesitantly at it. The indentation remains in the clay. "I mean, we are supposed to work it, so it has to be malleable." It looks, quite frankly, like what Dulcie expects Eddie to be leaving on Ray McClintock's grave just about now. "Malleable," Dulcie says. "Right. Yeah. Excellent." She takes a deep breath to brace herself and goes all in. Day 9. Amanda Palmer new concept album reveal. "Dulcie! Dulcie! Sexy!" Dulcie looks up from her snake-shaped meringue, hastily moving it behind her back as she turns away from the kookery dancers. "Love, what are you doing here?" she says, shaking the meringue urgently. Sven, who came with her to watch the dancers, gets the message and slips it out of her hand so he can pretend it's his, and that Dulcie hasn't in any way neglected the refined sugar intake guidelines that she and Kath agreed to ahead of time. "I thought you were at Amanda Palmer's..." "Nope, absolutely not. Where's Eddie?" Kath says, a little out of breath. "We have to make sure she doesn't go either." Dulcie raises her eyebrows at the clear urgency in Kath's voice. "What? Why?" "Yes, Amanda Palmer's concept album," Kath says over a wheeze. "It's the story of a small, sleepy Australian town hosting a big culture festival." "Oh no," Sven says. "That suddenly gets rocked by gruesome murders," Kath continues grimly. "Amanda Palmer did not, and I cannot stress this enough, warn Elena about it, and she had no idea until the tech rehearsal today. When she caught a glimpse of the set list and saw one titled, 'The Victimizers Become the Victims,' with the subtitle, 'Only Targeting Cishead White Men.'" "Oh, Lord," Dulcie says. "Yeah, so this seems like a really great time to make sure that everyone who's involved is maybe, you know, not there." Dulcie's phone dings with the notification. "Oh," she says. "Well, never mind." She turns her phone around to show Kath the text from Eddie. "Turns out Alexandra Palmer wrote a whole song about what a piece of shit my serial killer ex-boyfriend is. It's a banger and a half. Don't forget to bring popcorn to the reveal concert. Kath said she can smuggle it in her bra." "I guess," Kath says, her mouth settling into a nonplussed line. "That's a preferable reaction than the alternative." Day 10. Smorgy Bonfire. "Well, it's nice to do some light culture appropriation of the Yanks for once," Eddie says, ramming a poker up the rectum of a very sexually explicit marshmallow. As the Deadlock Women's Choir, sans mask-identifying bass auxiliary tonight because Sven wanted to try a s'more, serenades them with the brand new arrangement of Lightning Crashes, which gives its newest member, Vanessa Latham, a surprisingly well-delivered solo. "We eat them after we set them on fire, right?" Sven says. He, at the urging of the American performance artist who put together this particular event, has used two pokers in what the artist called a commentary on the nature of penetration. "Is that how this works?" "Not if Kath asks, am I right, sexy?" Eddie says, throwing a grin at Dulcie. "Can I?" Abby begins hesitantly. Her marshmallow is sort of two marshmallows, shaped to look like a couple making love in missionary position, and the poker slips between them like a poorly thought-out marital aid. "I mean, I was just wondering." "She wants to know if you three are a throuple," Sven says, and Abby turns bright pink. "Not that... you don't have to say if you don't want to, because it's obviously none of our business, but..." "Nah," Eddie says. "Kath got a really good deal on some cream when the two of them moved up to Darwin, so we haven't had to worry about Thrush." "No, it means the three of you are a couple, but with three of you," Sven explains. "Like, a couple, but three. So, throuple."
Dulcie has to hide a look at the expression of horror on Eddie's face. How many times do I have to say it? She demands. I love cock. Trust me, I've seen my fair share of maps of Tasmania, but they just do not do it for me.
Well, Dulcie says, keeping her voice matter-of-fact and innocent.
You do get jealous of Fern when she sleeps on the bed.
Yeah, 'cause she's a fucking dog. And there are specific dog beds all over the fucking house, and for some reason she still wants the human beds. And when you let her get on your bed, she decides that my bed's fair game too, and...
Yes, we're still living together. Dulcie cuts in to tell Sven and Abby. But no, we aren't romantically or sexually entangled. We're just... She shrugs. Family, I guess.
We're platonic.
Sven agrees sagely. That's great.
That is great, Abby says quickly. There's nothing wrong with that. Or with being a thruple. I'm in a thruple.
With Kate and her partner Unicorn. You already told us.
Dulcie finishes for her. Abby hadn't used the term thruple, though. She had just blurted out on a video call a few months ago that she was dating Kate, and Kate had a spouse named Unicorn that Abby was also dating. And technically, Abby was kind of a stepmom now, and she didn't want to get too ahead of herself, but she was maybe thinking of experimenting with she-they pronouns, since she hadn't really thought about it until Vanessa Latham asked. But for now, keep using she-her, please, and did she mention how great that luck was getting, and it wasn't just lesbians anymore, but all kinds of queer folks? Then Dulcie catches a glimpse of Eddie, who's staring at her, shocked and almost wet-eyed.
What? Dulcie says, frowning.
You never said family before, Eddie rasps.
Oh, Dulcie says, wrong-footed. Should I... I can stop if you...
No, Eddie says quickly.
No, it's... I like it. It's fine. Whatever. Don't make such a big deal of it.
Your marshmallow's on fire, Sven points out, and Eddie pulls it off the flame with a curse.
I'm glad, Abby tells Dulcie, just loud enough for Dulcie to be able to hear it,
that you all are so happy, and it's really great to see you. Darwin's so far away. Do you think you'll be able to make it back next year?
Dulcie glances over at the choir, where Kath and Tom are harmonizing their way through Closer to Fine.
We wouldn't miss it, Dulcie says fervently, for the world.
The end.
Twice as cloudy as I'd been the night before, and I went in seeking clarity. I went to the doctor, I went to the mountains, I looked to the children, I drank from the fountain. We go to the doctor, we go to the mountains, we look to the children, we drink from the fountain. Yeah, we go to the Bible, we go line. And the less I seek my source for some definitive, closer I am to find.